you know that we're, you know, looking at, we're not looking at, we're building on the church property a new youth center slash church slash community center slash something. And one of the things that we've gone through, that the people that were giving us the loan, or the people that are giving us assurance, that they wanted to know was, well, what's the address? What's the address there? We need an address to write down. And we don't have an address. You know, this was just property that was split off from Mrs. Perrine's property. And basically, they were told, Consumers Power, they give you the address. Which I was thinking, like, just one, all right, there's going to be one address on the street. I mean, I think, boy, we should be able to pick our own. I like this story, and I know that's got a lot of bad publicity lately, the Crystal Cathedral, Robert Schuller. But I remember him telling a story, or reading about it, about their address, and it was 12141 Lewis Drive. And they, I'm not sure if it's on purpose, or they just, from looking at it, that became their ministry kind of philosophy. There's 12141. So the 12-1 was, you know, God to us, and then for others. Kind of like, you know, up, inside, out, around. You know, 12141. That became kind of their ministry philosophy. So I thought, oh, that'd be cool to have a cool, you know, address like that. But I thought, oh, that would seem kind of forced, and, you know, we want consumers and all the other people to show us favor as we're going through the process. They don't want to throw a monkey into the wrench. A wrench into the works, you know. Be it difficult. If you threw a monkey in, that would be also difficult. Yeah. But, so I just thought, well, we'll just see what the address is, and maybe it'll be something cool. So, like a week ago, a week and a half ago, Stan Mosher called me and said, okay, we've got the address. And it's 1050 Bacon Road. So I, okay, that sounds like a Bible verse. So, pull out the Bible, think of 1050. All right, I'm going to start looking up 1050. That's going to be a great verse. And so I start going through the Bible, and there's 36 books of the Bible that had at least 10 chapters. I'm like, oh, well, this is going to be a lot to choose from. So I start making my way through all these chapter 10s. And wouldn't you know it, there's only one book in the Bible that has 10 chapters, or one chapter 10 in the Bible of all of it that has at least 50 verses. Oh, well, that whittles it down. And I thought it was kind of bad, there's not much to choose from. But then I saw the verse, and I was like, oh, really cool verse. And it's one I've actually preached on before. So I was going to talk to you about it. So when people say, oh, yeah, you've got a new building, and you see the address, and the address comes up, then you're going to have a story to tell to go with it. It's in the book of Mark. If you have your Bibles, you can look there. I'm going to read a little leading up to Mark 10:50. I'm going to start with verse 46. It says, then they is Jesus and his followers, came to Jericho. So they're on the way, with all this other Jordan, they're coming over to Jericho. They're on the way to Jerusalem. They're going there for the Passover celebration, and which will end up being Jesus' triumphal entry, and then leading to his crucifixion. So they're on their way. They came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples together, in fact, yeah, this picture, that's Jericho right there. Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. I'm going to stop right there for a second. I'm stopping at verse 49. Okay, so Bartimaeus, he lives near Jericho, and this is about 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem. So they're coming down to Jerusalem, which is about here, and this is kind of their last stop before they get there. You know, they're going for the Feast of the Passover, and you'd think the religious people there at the time would want to help, Bartimaeus, but they're kind of only annoyed when he's shouting out, what's happening? what's going on, you know, because that's where he relies on other people to tell him what's going on. And this, because there's a constant flow of traffic going through this town, and the people coming in and out of the city and on their way to Jerusalem, Bartimaeus is able to pick up a lot of information. You know, a lot of times blind people, their other senses can be heightened, like hearing, because they're depending on it more. And so he's hearing a lot of what's going on as they're going by, and he's storing those things away in his heart. And kind of serves as a preparation for what's going to happen later. So in many ways, he is more prepared than a lot of people were when he met Jesus. So if you have your sermon notes, we're just going to go through those 7 points. But getting his attention. You know, the crowd is just clamoring. The crowd is loud, and people are pushing and shoving, and they have places to go, and nobody's saying, excuse me. They just kind of push on by. Everybody has something to do, something to get, something to sell. And Jesus' disciples are trying to get out of the town. They've got a big crowd following. They're on the way out of town, all the way out of Jericho. They've kind of done what they needed to do there. And it's time to move on. And it says there's a large crowd following them. And everybody wants Jesus' attention. And outside the city, there's a slew of people begging by the road. And they're beggars, and they're lame, or blind, or deaf, or they're covered in disease. And they're not allowed to come inside the city limits. They can't come in because they're kind of spiritually unclean. That's what they thought, because they had something that the people thought was wrong. So the only means that they have for survival is kind of hitting up the people as they're coming and going, kind of the tourists. And they're all trying to draw attention to themselves, hoping that Jesus is going to hear them, or hoping that person's voice will be heard above the others. Kind of like, puppies at a pet store, where they're like, me, me, pick me, you know, they're all yapping and yapping. And on this day, one voice catches Jesus' attention, and it's not exactly clear why. You know, why does Bartimaeus' voice stand out above all the others? There's so many people yelling at the same time. Maybe it's just because he's so loud. You know, he's louder than everybody else. Maybe it's the particular words he said. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Nobody else has called Jesus that. Not yet, anyway. They would later as he's coming and making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. When he's being hailed as a king riding on a donkey. But first, Bartimaeus says, Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, second, maybe it's because his life depended on it. He knew his life depended on getting Jesus' attention. And there's a crowd, yeah, but he could hear them. He couldn't see them, but something was different today. And he heard about Jesus of Nazareth. As people have been walking by, he heard the stories of Jesus of Nazareth. And he's going to get his attention no matter what. This might be his only chance. He'd been sitting here and blind and begging for a lot of years. And what if this is the only chance, opportunity to change his place in life? What if he could convince that Jesus that he wasn't a sinner, that he hadn't done anything wrong to deserve being blind or an outcast? Now, kids, you probably know what it's like sometimes to get shush. You know, the shush. You know, something's going on, you say shush, shush. You know, it happens all the time. Right? Well, that's what's happening to Bartimaeus. He's getting shush. They're saying, tell him to pipe down. Don't bother the master. Don't bother him with your petty little needs. He's got more important things to do, more important people than you to tend to. You're nobody along the side of the road. Just zip it. Zip it. But I just want to zip it, you know. I want to tend to zip it. And they're just telling him over and over, you know, just be quiet. And but they don't understand. This is his chance. This is his only chance. Jesus is headed down a path that's going to be filled with suffering and filled with danger, and he's pointed towards Jerusalem, on his way to Jerusalem, and he's not going to be coming by this way again. Today is the day. It's not going to come tomorrow, or the next day, or the next. As we looked at the last 3 weeks, we talked about not a fan, that there's not, it's today. Today, Jesus calls us, not tomorrow. Tomorrow I will do this, but first I will do this, because but first and tomorrow turns into next week, and next month, and never. He says today. So, and Jesus, for Jesus, there's a bunch of unknown, possibly scary events lurking on the horizon. So it's now. He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's got to be now. And then he calls him here. It is. It is now. It's right now. Right now. Jesus stops in his tracks. Somehow he's heard this voice. Above the clamoring, he's heard this one voice verging on obnoxious over and over. This voice rising above the noise, rising above the crowd, calling to him. And Jesus could sense faith. He could sense faith as easily as we can sense colors that we look around and see. And he knew that Jesus, that Bartimaeus had. Bartimaeus, like we said, had been picking up little tidbits of information about this Jesus as he sat by the roadside. He knew how Jesus had healed other blind people. He had a conviction in his heart that he really was the promised Messiah. That's why he said, called out to him that way, Son of David. He knew that Jesus hadn't refused people when they came to him in the past. He knew that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for the Passover, and he'd be coming that way, and Bartimaeus knew that he was on the right road. He said, call him here, Jesus said. Bring that guy over here. He'll know the way, even though he can't see. He'll find me. He has found me. There's like, hey, buddy, it's your lucky day. You got his attention. Cheer up. He's calling to you. Get up. You got to get up. Go. Go on over there. And here's the verse. We get to Mark 10, verse 50. It says, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Now, this isn't a cold day. He's not wearing a heavy fleece. This isn't a North Face parka that he's got in a little day bag just in case it gets cold or rainy later on in the day. This is he's not wearing this cloak because he's cold. Or if the thunderstorm came up or something like that. See, 2,000 years ago, you couldn't just beg anywhere. 2,000 years ago, not just anyone could beg. If you had something that hindered you from working, you'd have to go in front of a Roman magistrate and plead your case. And you'd have to prove that you were unfit for work, and then, and only then, would you be allowed to beg. And if you were approved, you were given a cloak, a beggar's cloak, which is basically your license to beg, and you're assigned a spot. So it had your place, and you had to show up each day for work, so to speak. And by throwing his cloak aside, this blind man was giving up everything he had in his livelihood, everything that supported himself. In fact, can we go to the next thing there? This is just kind of a picture. You know, a cloak for a beggar was his collection cup. Kind of like a guy playing guitar, you know, down on the street somewhere or something, and you've got the open guitar case there so the people might throw a little bit of money in it. Well, this is what you've got. The cloak would be laid out and people could throw coins and basically, you know, in the blind man's lap, be right there. And, you know, that's how he's going to get supper that day. So, to understand this, that his cloak that he threw aside had all of his money in it. So throwing his cloak aside, the reason I think this verse is so cool, is throwing his cloak aside had major significance. He's made a decision. First, he's casting off what's defined him up to that point. You know, what has been what has defined him, and the mark of a beggar, and also the security blanket of the tool of the trade. Cast off a cloak is to refuse to cling to his identity as a beggar. Imagine what Jesus might have said to him if he gathered up his cloak, kind of nice, and folded it up so he got every last penny in there, and kind of just, you know, toddled over hesitantly to Jesus. What might Jesus have said then? But he threw it off. He sprang up and came to Jesus. Notice, Bartimaeus, he cast aside his garment, his security blanket, his livelihood, before he went to Jesus. He didn't make any provisions for what if this doesn't work out, or he isn't able to come through, or he doesn't accept the false security of going back to his old situation. That wasn't one of his options. You know, a lot of times people will stay in bad situations, will stay in abusive situations, because we feel, well, we've learned how to cope and adjust. And we're more afraid of the unknowns in our lives. And we might not say, well, I don't like the way things are right now, but at least I know how to cope with my situation. The beggar's cloak is his only sense of security, it's a place of false security. And Jesus wants us to fling it aside and trust him as he brings us into genuine security. We don't have to accept an old life or false security just because it's as comfortable as an old shoe that we don't want to get rid of. So Bartimaeus is throwing away his false security, but he's gaining true security, eternal security. He's tossing his cloak aside to come to Jesus would be saying, I'm not going to place my security in my money, in my job, my relationships, my friends, my toys, my abilities, my comfort. I'm playing my security in Jesus. You know, when we put up the new building, everyone that will come to the new church for the first time will come with a cloak. Will come with something they need to let go of to really follow Jesus. Because most will come in the door and will say, I'll give this a try. And if it doesn't work out, fine. I always have my old life to go back to. Bartimaeus doesn't do that. Bartimaeus, I've probably heard this before, is a legend of Cortez when he came and landed in Mexico. And he took some of his men up on a cliff and had them look back down. And looked down and all the ships were burning. And they burned all their ships as a way of saying, look, there's no going back. Look, we're going forward. We made it this far. It might be scary, but we're going forward. And there's no going back to Spain. There's no going back to what we had before. That's what Bartimaeus is doing. He's burning his ships behind him as he comes to Jesus. He's not saying, well, I'll give it a try and see what happens. He's throwing his cloak aside. So then moving on in the story from verse 50. He said, what do you want me to do for you, Jesus asks. It seems like a loaded question, kind of a scripted line, like, of course, what's the answer to that? He's blind, what does he want? What do you think he wants, right? He wants to be healed. Thing is, if you back up in the scripture just a little bit and you look, the disciples had just recently posed the same question, but to Jesus, the other way around. Jesus, we want you to do something for us. You know, we want to sit on your right and left hand when you come into the kingdom. But now Jesus is doing the asking. He's offering something far different than a right-hand status or a throne. And we have to ask ourselves, is the blind beggar, Bartimaeus, a little more spiritually astute than some of the disciples are? Maybe perhaps several steps closer to understanding the kingdom than some of the disciples. Is he ever much more sighted than they are? So that, I want to see. Show me the way. Show me a different light than I've known. Take the blinders off. Teacher, I've left my cloak behind. There's no turning back. I'm not going back to who I was. I crossed the line. I've come to you. I've turned in my cloak. I want something better. I want something eternal.